In the beginning, we had peace with God and each other. When we chose our way instead of God's way, we traded our peace for conflict and war. Humankind ruled with an iron fist, and so God wiped all people but Noah and his family off the face of the earth with a flood. As the waters dried, Noah sent a dove from the ark to search for dry land. It returned with a freshly plucked olive leaf. The dove is now a symbol of peace. The flood didn't solve our problem. We still wage war and hurt each other, but God promised to never send a flood like that one again. He put a rainbow in the sky as a reminder of this promise of peace. In the Hebrew scriptures, the word for rainbow normally refers to a warrior's bow. If God were to fire his bow, the arrow would not strike us, but go straight up into God's very own heart. To make lasting peace, God will have to wage war not upon humankind, but upon himself. Generations later, God chose a man he named Abraham to start a new people. God promised that through his descendants, he would bless all people on earth. Genesis 12, 2, 3. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and then all the families of earth shall be blessed. Over 1,000 years later, a prophet named Isaiah prophesied that a human child was coming who would be both the mighty God and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, 6, 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end. Today, as we light the candle of peace, we remember how the mighty God has given us the Prince of Peace through the birth of a small child into the family of Abraham. We remember at Christ's baptism how the Holy Spirit landed on him like a dove. We remember the spear thrust into his side at the cross, God's arrow finally hitting its mark. We remember how the Christmas child grew up and took God's curse upon himself so God might give anyone who believes in Jesus Christ eternal and everlasting peace.
Last week, as we opened up our Advent service, Brian, he done a wonderful job, and so now you're stuck with me this week. He's been up too long, he said, to be preaching, and I understand that. Sometimes you just feel like you're in kind of a spinning zone, you know, and I understand that real well. But hopefully you get a little sleep or a little rest this evening, brother. That's for sure. But as we come to the Advent this season, we know that we've been talking about come thou long and expected Jesus. You know, folks, as we stop and we think and we look at Advent and we expect Jesus to come, we know that he has came once, but we stop right there just for a moment. And you think about where we're at today as we expect the Lord's second coming. He's coming again, and it may be sooner than later, because things are happening so fast in this world. Things are happening that are filling the scriptures. And so we talked about, me and Brian talked about this a lot back earlier when we started talking about what we were going to be preaching on through Advent. And we was talking about the second coming. And folks, I told Brian, I said, I think it's something that we need to do, we need to mention, we need to talk about. Because I think we as Christian people, we get to a place where we're complacent with everything that's going on in our lives, and we're good with it. We don't really want to move in any direction. We're just good right where we're at. And that doesn't work, folks. You think about when baby Jesus came. They were expecting a Messiah, a Savior. They didn't know when. They didn't have a clue when all this was going to happen. We don't have a clue when the next one's when Jesus is coming back. It probably will be a little while. We're going to see lots of things begin to happen as it already is. But they didn't have a clue. And then when they realized that it was time that a Savior was born, some believed and some didn't. Some accepted, some wouldn't. And as Brian talked about last week, humility was a big thing for Christ to come. And it was a big thing for Mary and Joseph. And just for a few moments as we stop and we think about, you know, we know that he came by Mary being his mom. She was a virgin. He was born through the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't Joseph. He didn't have anything to do with it except he was thinking all along, this is pretty embarrassing to me. It's really embarrassing that I've got to be the one to take on this lady that's got this child, and she's trying to tell me that, you know, the Lord came and done this. I'm not real sure that that's going to be something that I want to go along with. And then an angel comes, and that's what I want us to start this morning in Matthew 1, 20, and we'll read through 25. We're going to have a little bit more scripture this morning than we normally do, but hey, it's Christmas. This is about him. It's not about us. And so we know that Joseph, he had to humble himself, folks. He had to humble himself to be the earthly father of Jesus. Folks, this is not something that was easily done. It was, you think about Joseph, and I don't know how many years Joseph lived. I can't tell you all of that. But he was considering, as Brian said, of breaking off the engagement. He was considering doing what he had to do to put Mary away. And so it says in verse 20, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's Isaiah 7 and 8. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. So this is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we see that the humility that Joseph had to back up and accept the fact that this angel has come to him, and he's saying to him, Joseph, it's okay to take Mary as your wife. This is my son, conceived by the Holy Spirit that's in her. Now, folks, I know if we had an angel appear to us and tell us something like that, we would say, wait a minute, was this a dream? What was this that I just had happen to me? You know, is this for real? But Joseph knew it was for real. And so he humbled himself to be the earthly father of Jesus. You know, folks, that takes faith. That takes a lot of faith in your God. Joseph was a man of faith. You know, I've often wondered, and where is my faith? How much faith do I really have? You know, we are measured sometimes, our faith is measured, by how much we're truly willing to suffer for the Lord. Because if I tell Brian I got faith, and then all at once everything starts happening, and it's going like, I'm not expecting this, Brian. I think I'm just going to step back and get out of this picture. My face not very good, is it, bro? And it's going to happen. And God is coming again, like we said. And when it does, if our faith is not strong, if we give in to the world instead of staying with Jesus, then we will be measured by our faith. How strong is your faith? And so we have to stop and we have to think about that as well. So we know that, as Brian said last week, that Joseph came from the Holy Spirit. And we know that he came and he was born in a manger. And as he was born in this manger, and there with a few people, as Brian said, and only a few, that the cattle was there. It was very humble experience, a very humbling experience. So we look at Luke, the second chapter. And so we know as he was born and laid in this manger, and it was so humbling to be the king, the Messiah that's coming, and he's laid in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Really, did he have to be laid in a manger in a barn? Did he have to be born in a barn? Yes, he did, folks. Because had he been born in the Hilton or had in the Super 8, they'd have said, you know, people would have, with a lot of difference, isn't it? But people would have said that he's still better than me. He had the opportunity to be born at the Super 8. He don't realize where I was born. So he was born in a barn and laid in a manger because at that point, there's nobody else that can be any more humble, any more lowly than he was. So we look at as he came and was born. Folks, I want us to stop and think about Luke. If you look over to Luke 2, 22 through 38, I want us to stop and think about this for just a few moments. We know that Simeon and Anna were living there in the temple, and God had spoke to them. Simeon had asked that he not die until he could see the Messiah, the Savior. And so he knew immediately when Jesus was born that this was the Messiah. In Luke 2, 22, starting with the 22nd verse, let's see what it tells us. Then it was time for the purification offering, as required by the law of Moses, after the law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus's parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple, and she was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God and fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God, and she talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. And when Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. So we see, folks, that at Jesus' birth, when Jesus was presented at the temple, you had Simeon and Anna that had asked for the Lord to be with them and to show them the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit had told Simeon that he would not die until he saw him born. And he recognized him immediately. What do you think made Jesus different than any other baby? That Simeon would have recognized him as they brought him to be dedicated, as they brought him to be given back to the Lord, as the law required. You see, I doubt there was anything any different in this baby than any other baby. I'm sure that the Holy Spirit had spoken to Simeon and said, you need to go to the temple today. And when he got there, through the Holy Spirit caused him to recognize, Jesus. Folks, we're no different. We, like Simeon and Anna, recognize Jesus. We, like anyone, them two or any other person, we have the opportunity to recognize Jesus. He's not here right now with us. He's not where I can reach up and touch him or go over and get a hold of him like I am Brian. But he is here with us in spirit and in truth. And folks, we have, as Christians and followers of Christ, we have that opportunity to recognize him through spirit and to follow him and to be his hands and feet, to believe in him, to let our faith be tested, to see how strong we are. We have that opportunity. Folks, he's not going anywhere. He is going to be right with us. So when we test, our faith is tested, we can know that God is walking right with us. He's got me on one side, and the Lord Jesus has me on the other. The Holy Spirit is inside me. Folks, it is so wonderful to know that our salvation, he came for our salvation. He prepared the people that we could have everlasting life. He's offered that to us. He offered that to us through the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That if we would only accept him, then we can have everlasting life. But then, as we see the baby, we know that he came and he's been born, and he's grew up to be a full-grown man, and like I said, he died on the cross, that we can have our sins forgiven. So we know that it was for real, folks. It's wrote right here in this book. It's for real. And that was the first advent. It was the first time that the Lord had come. It's the first time that he had been here in human form. And what happened when he was here? The people that were here, as it said when we read for the pouring of the water this morning, the people opposed him. They did not accept it. They would not accept that he was the Christ child. He was not Jesus. He was not the Son of God. He was a prophet, maybe. He was something else. And there's still people today that will tell you these very same things. But folks, he was Jesus, God's Son. He came that you could have eternal life. And so we see that there's going to be a second advent. The coming, the judge. He's coming as a judge. And when he comes to judge the nations and comes to judge us and his people, it tells us that he's going to gather us up like sheep and goats. And he's going to put us on the right and the left. It tells us this. Look at Matthew 25. If you have your Bibles, I don't know if we got this on the screen or not, but we do. If you got, see, Brian's so good to me. He takes care of me in all these deals. And he keeps my scripture up there for me and everything. Matthew 25, 32 through 46. So we look at Matthew 25, 32 through 46, and we're seeing Jesus talking here. And so I'm going to start with the 31st verse and then go right on. But it says, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon the glorious throne." 32, "All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, 'Come, you are blessed by My Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison or visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.' Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared by the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me.' Then they will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry, thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, or not, and not help you?' And he will answer, 'I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of these my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me.' And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life." You see, folks, what Jesus is saying: when you help your fellow man, when you help the people around you, you're doing it. You are helping him. You're doing it in his name. You're doing it for him. And when you refuse to be a part of your fellow man, when you refuse to show any love into the world, he says, you'll be cast out. You'll be put over here with these goats. You'll be put into the left side of the field. You're not going to be one of my sheep. You're not going to do anything for me. You're not doing anything for me. And you know, folks, sometimes you got to look for the Lord. You got to look at what's going on in your life to see the Lord. You know, I got a friend, and he lives backside of nowhere down on Blood River. And this week, I was down at a place we lease, a farm we lease, with the tractor and bush hog, and I pushed on an old tree and the tire popped, Randy. And there I was. And guess what? I had on a pair of old heavy boots, and I had on more clothes than I needed, and now I got to walk home. And I said, well, how about this? So I just started walking. When I walked out on the highway, this old dude, I mean, a lot of people just think he's crazy. He's just a crazy old dude. And if you looked at him, you'd say he's double crazy. But I looked up and I heard this car coming. It was going, whoom, whoom. I thought, man, I'm going to stand on the side of the road and wait for this car to get by because I don't know about this dude, you know. But you could hear it wasn't right. And here he comes. He come around this corner and there he was, Pete, just all at once. Hit the brakes, stop. And so he had plastic all up on the windows. I couldn't see. I said, I don't even know this dude. So I walked around the car in front. That's probably stupid. I walked around the car and got over and I said, well, dadgum, I didn't even know you, man. Hadn't seen you in quite a while. Didn't even know you. He said, Mikey, is that you? I said, yeah. He said, what are you doing on the side of the road? I said, well, I got to walk home, Wendell. My tire, I got a flat tire on my old tractor. I said, I got to go home and get my truck and some stuff. And he said, get in, Mikey. And I got in the car with him, and we took off, and that thing was just, whoa, you know. And but he took me home, you know. And I said to myself, I'm thinking, I don't really want to walk home. I can walk home, but I don't want to walk home. And it was raining and sprinkling rain, carrying on. And when I got home, I told him, I said, just let me out down here to the road, Wendell. I said, I can walk. And so he did. He said, well, I guess that might save me a little gas up that hill there, Mikey. I said, yeah, it might do it. And so I walked on up the hill. But I thought, Lord, you know, as crazy as this dude is, as crazy as I am, and he brought Wendell to take me home. He showed me love through Wendell. And he showed me the lowest of the lowest, the ones that won't do anything that you think for him, he brought him to me and allowed me to be a part of Wendell's life for a few moments while we went home. I love Wendell. I've always loved Wendell. Got a lot of good stories Tammy can tell you, but later on. But it's one of these things, folks, when you least expect your Lord and Savior, he shows up in ways that we don't give him credit for. He shows up in people that you might not expect. He shows up because he loves you. Wendell knows I love him, and he loves me. And I don't see him but once every year or two. Just don't. But he told me when he got out, he said, you know, Mikey, he said, I pick up everybody walking. I said, you do, Wendell? I said, well, that might not be a healthy thing to do. He said, you know, Mikey, I stayed down here on the river, Blood River, for a long time. And he said, I'd walk to Paris and nobody ever picked me up. And he said, I said, if I ever get a ride, I'll never pass up a person walking. Now, isn't that something, folks? That's God's love in his heart for his fellow man. We look at people a lot of times, and we might think they're crazy, but they're not. We might think that they're something that we don't know. But, folks, we don't need to be the judge. God says, I'll be the judge. I will judge my people when I come. I will judge the nations when I come. I want us to look at Revelation 19, 6 through 16, and we're going to quit reading Scripture this morning. But folks, this is the Lord. This is His Scripture. It's about Him, and we could never give Him enough glory. We could never give Him enough praise. But He's coming back, folks. And just as He told us a while ago, when we don't do for the least, when we don't go to prison, when we don't go and visit the people that are less than we, when we don't love these people like we love ourselves, then I'm coming back and you go be over here with them goats. Took a food card to a lady the other night and I couldn't get in the fence and she said, don't come in here. Said, there's this big old billy goat. And I didn't see him. And she said, he might get you. And he was laying on the porch. And so she had to send a kid out there to catch this goat, Brian, and to keep him, billy goat, from getting me. And I don't want to be got. I don't want to be got. I've been got by a billy goat. I can tell you all about it. But, folks, you don't want God separating you and putting you over here with these goats. These sheep are a whole lot easier to get along with. Tells us in Revelation 19:6. He said, then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or the roar of a mighty ocean waves or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to Him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and His bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Then I fell down at the feet to worship him, but he said, don't worship me. I am the servant of God. Just like you and your brothers and sisters, you testify about your faith in Jesus. Worship only God. For the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness to Jesus. Let's see. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to go on. Then I saw heaven open and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True. And he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire and on his head were many crowns. A name were written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on the white horse. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from the wine presses. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. You see what he said there, folks? He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. If you've never pressed juice or grapes or anything, you'll see that juice is mashed and it runs out. And that's what he's saying to us. We will be judged. The ones that's not with me, the ones that their faith is being tested and they're not willing to stand with me, then you will be put into the wine press. You will be mashed. You will be run out. You will be no different than anybody else. But folks, we are given that opportunity to be children of God. We're given that opportunity to follow Him. We're given that opportunity to not give up, to remember we're in the trench with the Lord. There's nothing that can happen to us. No matter if we lose our life, there's nothing that can happen to us because we belong to Him. We will be in His presence. So folks, we have to stop and look forward to the next advent. You say, well, Mike, if it's going to be like that, I'm not looking forward to it. Yes, we are. We're looking forward to Him coming because we will be with Him, folks, just as we're sitting in Grace Life Church this morning. We will be with Him all the days, the rest of our lives. We will be in His presence. A whole lot better than you being in my presence. You will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? But it's going to require us to have faith. And it's going to require that our faith stand all the way through. Not to give up. And folks, we're going to be tested with some tough stuff in the days and years ahead. Right now, we're going through some stuff right now that most folks here today won't even know about because they won't tell you. We're going through some stuff in our nation right now that's really, really, really bad stuff. I hope if you hadn't heard this weekend, I hope you go home and get yourself familiar with it because it's really bad. But this is as bad as it is. This is not the end. It's not anything because we got Jesus. We got Jesus. And no matter what happens to this world, and it's going to happen because He tells us it's going to, no matter what happens to this world, all we got to do is stand firm. Stand firm with the Lord. Never give up. And it will always, always come back that you will look forward to that second advent. You will be glad to be the one that was here to see the coming of Christ. Just as Simeon and Anna, just as they were happy to see, and they said, Lord, now we have seen, we're ready to go on and be with you. We're ready to die. We know that just as they were ready to die, we ourselves will be looking forward to spending eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you think about this, folks, because the second advent is just as real as the first one. It's coming. And as we prepare ourselves, we are living in a time, we are preparing ourselves just as the people were for the first one. We're preparing for the second one. It's real, folks. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.